Has anyone ever played with super glue? Anyone ever played with, have a story about playing with super glue? Like you may or may not have taken super glue that seriously. Well, I had one recently. This is my favorite thing in the world. If our house was to burn down and I had gotten all my family out, now I'm not suggesting you do this. Don't do this. But if I was to dash back inside to get something, it would be this right here. It is my favorite thing in the world. It's my camera. And you can see on the back, you see in the picture, I recently had an interaction with super glue in my camera. A part of the grip was a little bit loose, and I thought, well, I'm just gonna get a little drop of super glue. I'm gonna put it on there, and I'm gonna make sure that stays on there nice and tight, forgetting the viscosity of super glue when it first comes out of the bottle. It's very, very watery. And so I was holding it just a little bit like this, and that super glue leaked down onto the screen. You can see on the picture. And I thought, oh no, I've got to get it off of there. Did you know super glue was originally made and manufactured under the name Eastman 910? Eastman because it was produced by the Kodak Eastman Company. 910 because it dries in 9 to 10 seconds. And so, you can kind of see it on the screen. I smeared it. I tried to get it off, and I smeared it down the screen. And now this is not coming off the screen. I've Googled it. You know, they say you could try acetone, you could try rubbing alcohol, you can try all these things. This is not coming off. It's chemically bonded to the back of my camera screen now, and I was just sick for like a day after this. I thought, oh no, what have I done? What have I done? I've wrecked my camera. Well, it's not super bad. It's still usable. Like if I ever wanted to get around to it, I could replace the screen for a little bit of money. But does anybody, I bet we all have a story maybe with super glue, right? I have a tube of super glue up here. A story, maybe you stuck your fingers together or you've glued something to your hand. Just last night, we keep the super glue on top of the fridge and I noticed there was a tube of super glue and it must have leaked. I don't know if you know about this yet, honey, but but I'm gonna have to chip that off the top of the fridge because it was glued down to the top of my fridge. We're not very good at super glue at our house, apparently. But I'm sure we all have a story like that, right? Something we've done with super glue, we've not been super careful with it, we forget about what it is and what it can do. My daughter recently, I was fixing something with super glue for her, and she was like, Dad, that stuff is cool. Can I use it? Now, she's 6 and a half. So I said, like any good father, I said, no, honey, you're not old enough. Well, why not, Dad? Well, I don't have to explain it to you, okay? I'm the dad, I'm the boss, so that's what we're gonna go with. But I, you know, honey, it's too strong. You don't want to play with it. You could glue your fingers together. You could glue your eyes shut. Like it would be bad, right? If it got loose. So super glue. And if we play around with super glue, we are taking a great risk. We are putting ourselves in danger of something bad or something permanent happening to us or a belonging or something else, right? And it's interesting because this morning, our text, Jesus takes up an issue that I think is similar to super glue. He takes up an issue that has repercussions, that if we neglect to take it seriously enough, if we forget what it is or we're confused about what it is, it can get us in a world of hurt and in a world of trouble. And I want to say this, if you're a parent in the room with young kids, the issue this morning he takes up is the issue of sexuality. And so we're going to talk about the issue of sexuality. I'm not going to talk about it in a graphic way or anything, but this is what Jesus brings up next in our text in Matthew chapter 5. So if you're a parent, there's your warning, okay, for the morning. I'm not saying you should leave. I'm just saying, hey, it's going to be out there. You might have some conversations at lunch about what we're going to talk about this morning. And that's probably a good thing, right? We should be talking about this stuff with our kids, even from a young age. It shouldn't be a secret to them. It's not a secret out in our world. So I think it's a good and healthy thing to have these conversations. But super glue and sexuality have the thing in common that if we misunderstand what they are, if we don't take them seriously, big time problems can be the result. Big time problems can be the result. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, where we're going to be verses 27 to 32. Two sections. We've only been taking one at a time. There's two sections here. There's one on lust and there's one on divorce. And as I was looking at these texts, I thought there is something in common here. There is a commonality. So we're going to look at them both together this morning. And Jesus is going to help us. Jesus is in the scriptures, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And he's full of wisdom, and he's full of knowledge about the way the world really is and the way it's intended to be and the fundamental nature of the world. And he's gonna reveal some things to us this morning about the issue of sexuality that are important. As a good shepherd to us, he's going to say to us, guys, you need to rightly understand what this is. You need to rightly understand the issue of sexuality, because if you don't, you're going to end up in bad places. And it's interesting because in our world gives us disconnected messages on the issue of sexuality. Out of one side of our mouth, the world says sexuality is no big thing. You can do what you want with who you want, whenever you want, as long as both people are agreed that that's okay. And they say, it doesn't matter what you do on your, I've got my smartphone up here. It doesn't matter what you do in the privacy of your own house on your smartphone. That doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. It doesn't hurt anybody. And Jesus is going to come along and say something different. He's going to lift the veil for us on the issue of sexuality. That's out of one side. Our culture and our world says it's no big deal. But out of the other side of our culture's mouth, it says it's the biggest deal. It is the most important thing. It is the thing that most defines who you are as a person, is the issue of sexuality. See, we're confused. We're confused on this topic, and we aren't the first people to be confused on this topic. It's been confusing for people throughout time. That's why Jesus, I think, brings it up in the Sermon on the Mount. It was confusing to people, Jewish people, 2,000 years ago who had the law. It was confusing to them as well. So this morning, if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. The iPad that I control slides with just freaked out. We'll see how this goes. But the text should be on the screen for you, okay? Matthew 27, or 5, 27 to 32. And I want to say this, that we believe this book is is God's word. It's the Bible. It's what he gave to us. And you can't grow as a Christ follower apart from him, or apart from this book. You can't know Jesus. It was written to us so that ultimately we can know Jesus. You can't know Jesus apart from this book. So if you don't have a Bible, I would just say to you, go out to the Welcome Center after this service, get a Bible, and read it this week. God reveals himself to us in this word. So Matthew 5, 27 to 32. You have heard that it was said, and remember, this is the formula Jesus is using. He's giving an Old Testament, thank you, Eli. He's giving an Old Testament command, and then he's pushing it farther than was their understanding. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. It's from the Ten Commandments. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you're right, and if that wasn't enough, look what he says in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. And we could stop there this morning, but I want to point out something to you, that this section and the next section are closely connected. The connecting verse is the shortest in any of these sections. And in verse 28, Jesus connects lust to adultery. And in verse 32, he's going to connect something else to adultery. Look what he says, verse 31. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. See, the issue of sexuality was a big deal, and there was a lot of confusion for those people. It's confusing for us today. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at. Jesus is letting us know what is the fundamental nature of sexuality. He's saying something profound about it. And he's saying something that is helpful and secure and keeps us safe. He says, adultery, make no mistake, adultery is the result of playing around with sexuality. Adultery is the result of playing with sexuality. We think it's okay to mess around with sexuality as long as it doesn't cross a certain line. And these people thought the same thing. That as long as I keep it in this small, adultery is defined in this small little box. As long as I don't go inside of that little box, then I'm okay. And Jesus takes that box and he draws it big. He says, actually, the box looks like this, my friends. You know why he does that? Because sexuality is like human super glue. If you mess around with it, your fingers are going to get stuck together every time. That's the way it works. That's the way it was designed. You can't just play around with it in this little box and expect nothing to happen. It's like human super glue. And if you mess around with it, adultery is the result. Look what we go back to Genesis. Genesis 2:24. It's on the screen. It says, this is the point of sexuality is to bind two people together for a lifetime in a marriage relationship. He says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And Jesus knows this. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of marriage. He's the creator of our bodies and creator of sexuality. And he knows that the way it was made, the way it was intended, was to join two people together for a lifetime. Because everybody knows, if you're married in this room, you know, and if you're not married in this room and you get married someday, you'll find out. Marriage is really hard. It's good, but God gave us something to help us literally stick together through marriage. He gave us sexuality, and it's part of a healthy marriage relationship expressed between two people within marriage. So it's a good thing that God gave to us. But that's what it was made for. Like super glue is made to stick things together. Sexuality is made to stick things together, stick two people together for a lifetime. That was the intent. Look what Jesus does with this in Matthew 5:27. They would have been totally on board. In verse 27, where he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. And remember, when he says, but I say to you, he is making a claim that he is somebody special, that he is on par with God. Because God was the one who said, you shall not commit adultery in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus is taking that statement, and he's pushing it even farther. And he's saying, listen, God's true intent was not just that you don't have a sexual relationship with someone who isn't your spouse. It was about something more and something deeper because of the way he designed sexuality. So he says, but I say to you that everyone, and this would have blown their categories because they thought they were okay. They thought they were okay because they hadn't crossed over this line of actually having a physical sexual relationship with someone they weren't married with. They thought that they were fine. But Jesus says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, they thought, as long as I don't do that one thing, then I'm okay. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 no. Make no mistake. Sexuality is a big deal. It's like human super glue. And even if you have the thought in your mind, you have the intent in your heart, that makes you guilty. Because the truth of the matter is, the intent in your heart and the thought and the desire, if given the opportunity, would probably lead to the action. That's where adultery comes from. And so he's letting us know it's not just about this law. As long as I don't cross over, I can get as close as I want to that line without any repercussions. He's saying it starts way back here. It starts with a look. It starts with an attitude of the heart. If anyone looks at a woman with lustful intent, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart. And that would have blown their minds. But the next thing, it also would have blown their minds. In verse 31, he brings up the issue of divorce. And Moses had allowed for divorce in certain cases. But what had happened through time is they had taken the divorce laws, the divorce injunctions, and they had tried to parse out, in what case is it okay to divorce your wife? And there was people who, at this time, who thought that it was okay for any old reason, that if she burned breakfast, that if she didn't fold your underwear the way that you normally wanted them folded and put them in the correct drawer, in the correct sequence, that if she didn't color coordinate your clothes in the closet, if she displeased you in any way, she wanted to watch a romantic comedy instead of a guy action war movie. These are trivial things, but this was a real thing back then. You could divorce her as long as you gave her the correct paperwork. As long as you provided her with her certificate of divorce, then it was totally fine, was what some of the Jewish rabbis were teaching. And you know what Jesus did? They thought they were okay. They thought, you know, sexuality is fine. As long as I don't cross this line, then I'm fine. As long as I give this person I was married to a piece of paper, then it's all fine and it's all good. And you know what Jesus says? No, guys. It's not. Adultery is what happens, is the result, when you play around with sexuality. Because sexuality is like human superglue. So what he says is, but I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And I don't think Jesus is necessarily, he's not making a condemning statement. And you got to know, this isn't a full-orbed teaching on the issue of divorce. So if you're in here and you've been divorced, please don't walk out feeling condemned. I don't think this is Jesus' intent. I think what Jesus is doing here is he's making a profound statement about the nature of reality, that we don't take divorce seriously. They didn't take divorce seriously. And we misunderstand sexuality. That sexuality was like, it's like human superglue. God gave it to join two people together for a lifetime. On a physical level, on an emotional level, and on a spiritual level. And that you can't just walk away from that unscathed. You can't just get the right paperwork filed at the courthouse and everything will be fine. Because once you go down that road with someone in a sexual manner, your life is in some ways forever changed. It will never be the same. You will always have those memories. You will always have those experiences. They will always be with you. You will always be marked. And I think that is what Jesus is getting at here in this passage, that you can't just walk away from someone by giving them the correct paperwork. Because sexuality is like human superglue. And so he's drawing the line between adultery and lust, and between adultery and divorce. And he's letting us know that I don't think he's condemning. I think he's wanting to help. He wants us to understand the profound nature of sexuality. If we want to be followers of his, if we want to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we want to bring glory to our Father in heaven. This issue is hugely important. It has huge ramifications for us in our lives. We bond ourselves to things in unthinking ways all the time. And I just want to say to you, like, standing up here and talking about this, maybe you're there and you're feeling beat up. Maybe you've been steeped in lust and pornography for a long time. Maybe you're sitting there and you've been divorced. And these are hard words to hear. And I just want to say to you, like, I have been down that road. I began a relationship with, I call it a relationship, a relationship with pornography when I was in fifth grade in a friend's basement. And that has been part of my story. I continued on through my teenage years, and I battled it into my, in, you know, and I still, like, there's, I take measures today because I don't trust myself. This is my phone, and on my phone, I have something called Covenant Eyes. It's accountability software, because I don't trust myself all the time. They say no matter how far you are down the road to recovery, you're still the same distance from the ditch, and I know that I could, just like anybody, I could be back in that in a moment's notice. So I take precautions in my life, but I've been down that road. So the point of this isn't that you feel beat up. The point of this is that we correctly understand what it is we're messing around with, what it is we're playing around with when we play with sexuality because our world says it's not a big deal. You won't get hurt. It's okay. Our world considers sexuality not super glue. They think it's more like Elmer's glue. It's easy to deal with. Just washes off. Isn't really that bonding. But that's a misunderstanding of the nature of sexuality. And because it's so sticky, look at what he says. He says you should take desperate measures if needed to deal with this. He says if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. Now, should we literally go around tearing our eyes out? Well, there's been people throughout the course of history, they've taken literal steps to remove parts of their body. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, but you may have to get rid of your smartphone for a while if you're hooked on porn. You may have to get rid of your computer. At the Watson House, we don't have Wi-Fi. If you come to our house, you can't get on our Wi-Fi network because it doesn't exist. Now, part of that is we're cheap. But another part of it is I don't need that in my life all the time. I don't need to be able to hook my computer up to anything I want whenever I want. I just don't need that. That's a step we've taken. I'm not saying you need to do that. I'm just saying Jesus is saying this stuff is so sticky, you got to be so careful with it that it is appropriate to use desperate measures in extreme things so that you don't become hurt by it. I want you to know, and this is important, that Jesus' compassion includes those, even those who have played around with sexuality. Jesus' compassion includes you. If you played around with sexuality, you walked in here this morning and you've got pornography from this week in your mind, or you messed around with someone who is not your spouse, or whatever it is, or you watched some stuff and you know it wasn't the right stuff to watch. Jesus' compassion includes you. We got to remember this. This whole sermon is built around verse 17. And verse 17 says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." And if we miss this verse, if we misunderstand, we walk in every week, get beat up by what Jesus says, and walk out. But the truth of the matter is Jesus came as the holy and righteous one. And he came not so he could come and lord it over us because he was so holy. He came so that we could have his righteousness through faith. So that though I have messed up, I'm an adulterer at heart. I have the righteousness of Christ through faith. So if that's you this morning, Jesus isn't here. He's not standing over you, condemning you because of what you did this week or what you've done in the past. That's not his heart. He came to lift the law for you because you couldn't possibly lift it on your own. He came to be righteous because you couldn't possibly be righteous on your own. And I couldn't possibly be righteous on my own because of my sin nature. So we got to remember verse 17. But I want to point you to a story, and this is a beautiful story dealing with the issue of sexuality. Jesus, it's from John chapter 8. Jesus is in this kind of back and forth with the Pharisees, and it says, "The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery.'" How they caught her there, I don't know. Right? There's a lot of questions here. "Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women, so what do you say?" And they said, to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. Verse 7, "As they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.'" See, they expected to have an execution that day of this woman that they had caught. "And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus stood up and said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on sin no more.'" He's not saying it's okay what you did. But he's also not condemning her. He's not picking up a rock. And the interesting thing in this text is that the only person in that group of people at that point who could have thrown a stone, the only person who had no sin was the Lord himself. He was the only one in that gathering that had no sin. And he didn't pick up a stone to throw it at her. He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And that's his heart towards you and towards me. It's not of condemnation, but it's also not just blanket acceptance of everything I do. It's something different. It's something more. It's something that is based on a true understanding of the nature of sexuality. That if you play around with sexuality, adultery is always going to be the result. Because sexuality is human superglue. It's human superglue. So what does that mean for us this morning? What does that mean for you and for me? Simple, don't play with superglue. Don't play with superglue. Don't play with superglue. That's what sexuality is. It's made to bind two people together in a lifetime relationship. That's what it's for. And we misunderstand the situation if we think it's anything else or anything less than that. Don't play with superglue. You're going to stick your fingers together. You're going to glue something to the top of a refrigerator. You're going to mess up the back of your camera screen. This I told you, this is my most prized possession. I messed it up. Because I was playing with superglue. Don't play with superglue. Be careful with it. Understand what it really is. Understand that's what sexuality really is. Don't buy the lie that our culture wants to tell us that it's not a big deal. That what you do on your phone in the privacy of your room is not a big deal. That what you do with someone else, as long as you're both on board with it, is not a big deal. It will stick you to an image. There's actually brain chemistry behind this, whatever you see, whatever you engage with sexually, it's going to bond you to that thing. There's hormones, and there's all kinds of things that are at play, dopamine and oxytocin and things that will help bind you to whatever that thing is. You can become bonded to an image on a screen. And it will become bonded to your brain. So don't play with superglue. But know that if you've been down that road, you can be healed. You can be healed from that. And I want to say this. Be wary of those who play with superglue. If you're a person like a young person in here, I see a few of you, and you're in a dating relationship or you're engaged someone, pornography usage is one of the most prevalent things that blows up marriages every year in our country. And so you're dating someone and you find out that they have a serious pornography addiction or pornography habit. Now, I'm not talking like maybe they looked at something one time or it's something they're fighting, but if they have a serious pornography thing, run away. Get out of there. Getting married is not going to fix it. Get out of there. Run away. I have four little girls, and I'm going to give them this when they get older. I'm going to say, girls, you meet a guy, you think he's great, you know, you like him, you think he treats you well, and then you find out he's nursing a pornography habit. I am going to come after you. Run away. That's danger. It's going to go nowhere good for you. So be wary of people who do play with superglue. But experience healing. If you're here this morning and this is resonating with you, you can experience healing at the cross. You can experience forgiveness. It's not okay if you've messed up with this. He's not saying that. He's not saying, hey, it's just fine. But he's saying he came to fulfill the law. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So what we need to do, the appropriate response is to turn away from that, to call it what it is. That's called repentance, to say, Jesus, whatever I've been watching or whatever I've been doing with my boyfriend or girlfriend or fiance or whoever it was, that is not okay. Would you heal me? If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you could trust him. Maybe this is the morning. You walked in here and you had no idea why you're here, but you could trust him as your Savior for the first time. Maybe you've been carrying a ton of guilt and a ton of shame because of the issue of sexuality. You could trust Jesus as your Savior. You know what? He wants to come. He wants to give you his righteousness by faith. He doesn't want you beaten down with shame for the rest of your life. He doesn't want you to destroy your life by playing around with sexuality. He wants something better for you than that. This morning, you could trust him if you've never have. If you've trusted him, maybe you just need to believe this is actually true, that Jesus does not condemn you, because in the church, we can condemn sexual sin more than anything else. You know, we let gluttony slide. We let a whole list of things slide. But when it comes to sexuality, we're like, nope, there is a hard line here. And there is, right? Like, it has huge ramifications for your life. But Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn you. This isn't something that's beyond the scope of his forgiveness, that's beyond the scope of his blood or his grace. You could bring that to him today. This could start for you a time where you are turning from that. And I would invite you, if that's you this morning, you're feeling you're impacted or you want to change, come talk to me after the service. Find one of our pastors. I'll tell you, on a regular basis, not a regular basis, but every year I have people come into my office and want to talk. And they want to talk about this. And every one of us on staff, we would love to talk to you. Not that we would rejoice at where you are, but if you want to get free, that could be a first step for you. Give me a call. Give Pastor Ty a call. Pastor James. Any of us on staff, we would love to maybe be the first one you tell about this. Not that we need to be the first one you tell, but like if you need a safe place, you want to tell somebody, come and tell us. And we will try to get you connected with other people. There's groups in this church of people who want to walk alongside you through things like this. And if you're here, maybe you're a little bit down the road. Like I'm a little bit down the road from this. Not very far. I know I could still go in the ditch. Would you share your story with someone else? Like, when we share our stories with other people don't feel alone anymore. We begin to create an environment where we set them free to talk about what's really going on in their lives. So if maybe you're like, you know, I'm not actively struggling with pornography or I had an affair in the past or whatever, but God is doing a work in me. Man, would you share that with somebody as God gives you opportunity? Don't hold it back. It's part of your story. And there's people out there, they need the hope of the stories that God has done in our lives. They need that. See, adultery is always the result of playing with sexuality. But Jesus came to fulfill the law for you. He came to fulfill the law for me. That's the good news of the gospel. So my prayer for us as a people, as New Covenant Bible Church, is that we would be marked as different by the way we deal with sexuality. Verse 16 of this chapter says, so let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And you know what? We have a tremendous opportunity in the area of sexuality to say, we are different. Say, this is what we believe. This is how I'm going to act. And we don't have to go around condemning everybody who doesn't act the same way. We can just be different. We can be different with where our eyes go, with what our bodies do. And in doing so, we bring glory to our Father who is in heaven. That's my prayer for us. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for, Lord, for how you love us. This isn't, it's a challenging passage. It's a challenging topic, Lord, but you didn't come to condemn us. You didn't come to condemn the world. You came to save the world. And Jesus, we need your saving. I know there's people in this room, Lord, who are struggling in the area of sexuality. Lord, it's something very personal and intimate and powerful. And Father, I pray that you would just give freedom, you would give hope, you would bring healing to that which is broken. Father, may we take the appropriate steps. May we find help if we need it. May we be open about our struggles with one another. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.